On Midwest Week, 9 years later, and flood recovery isn't done yet in eastern Iowa. I'm Herb Tricks, and my guest this week is Brian Morelli, reporter for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. This week, some members of Congress from Iowa complained about the lack of federal help for Cedar Rapids following the flood in 2008. So, Brian, what still needs to be done in the city all these many years later?
Cedar Rapids is just now getting started on building a flood control system. It's a series of berms and flood walls and gates and giant water pumps to pump underground water back into the river. So they're just starting with the very first section, which is actually at the south end of the downtown area in what's called the New Bohemia District. This was one of the lowest lying areas in Cedar Rapids. It's actually it was below when the river crested in September at 22 feet. It's actually below that, around sits about 20-foot river stage. And this Newbo area, you might have heard of it. It's actually it was really damaged severely in 2008, and it's actually become this sort of focal point of vibrancy in Cedar Rapids, where you know bars and restaurants and retail and just kind of fun things happening. There's the Newbo City Market, where they have the yoga outside during the summers and markets and so forth. So that is the first piece that's being protected. And basically it's because now they finally have some money to, the city has some money to work with.
Okay, so remind us, Brian, 9 years ago what happened. How serious was the flood in your city?
In 2008, the river crested at 31.12 feet, which was the highest flood ever, and I believe an extra 15 feet higher than the second highest flood, which was in 1851. It was devastating. The flood covered 10 square miles of the city, about 14%, damaged almost 6,000 homes, were flooded, 310 city facilities, so about 1,300 properties had to be demolished. Several really key city services were also knocked out of commission: the city hall, the public works building, the fire station, animal control, the library, transportation center, the school district's central offices, and an elementary school was displaced. I think the estimate is about 10,000 residents were displaced by the flood. So it really was just a catastrophic event for Cedar Rapids that really has changed the course of history for this city. You know, you can't go a day really without something happening in Cedar Rapids and it not tying back in some way to the 2008 flood. So, kind of a seminal moment in the city's history.
Was there any warning that it was coming, Brian, or was it just so sudden that no one really had a chance to pack up or get away safely?
It was a little bit of both. I mean, there was some warning in that the river levels upstream were rising. The rain was just kind of pounding Iowa really that May and June, and even as far back as December, rainfall and kind of river levels were, you know, breaking records. But then, you know, come May and June, the rain just kept coming and coming. And as the water was cresting in Cedar Rapids, another 3 inches of rain fell during the crest. So it really just kind of blew the lid off the flood, and it just, I think, to some extent, maybe people were somewhat complacent. You know, the Cedar Rapids had withstood the 1993 flood, and I think there was a sense that it wouldn't be as bad as it was. And, I mean, certainly people left their, you know, didn't pack up their homes probably as much as they should have, and so some people just lost everything.
And since that disaster in 2008, what are some of the major things that have happened in the city? Some buildings have been replaced. Have city services moved to outlying areas or higher ground or something?
Yeah, there's really actually been a lot that has happened. You know, a lot of people look at this flood protection system and wonder, you know, 9 years later, why do we not have a flood? You know, why are we not protected from the river? And we can get a little bit to that later, but I mean, there have been a number of things that has happened. The city, a number of the city's wells were flooded. I think all but one had flooded, and those have all been elevated. The city moved the wastewater treatment plant out of harm's way. Underground utilities were protected, and a number of the properties that were kind of damaged by the flood were demolished and bought out. A lot of things were moved out of the way of the river. A lot of those key facilities I mentioned, there's a new library that's built a little bit further away from the river, a new fire station that's out of harm's way, a new city services center that has a lot of the public works operations. And meanwhile, like, there's a lot of the buildings that have been rebuilt are sort of built with a kind of a floodproofing. So, you know, in some cases, the foundation is built much higher, or they have other measures that basically ground level might be sort of floodable to where if it gets wet, it won't, you know, destroy the building.
So why are we talking about starting to build a flood wall or something like that? Now, you said money is available. Is that federal, state, or has the city raised money for it?
There's some money available. Money is starting to come in, and there's a state match that's based on sales tax proceeds, where the city gets a portion of its sales tax proceeds and gets to keep it and put it to flood protection. So the city has a 20-year, I think, $270 million agreement with the state, and that money has just started to flow in. And so really, actually, the city is trying to focus more on retail development to kind of help fuel that sales tax proceed. But they're still missing a few key pieces of money. They've been counting on about $73 million in federal assistance. It was authorized in the 2014 WERDA bill, the Federal Water Resources Development Act bill, but it was never funded. And so $73 million is a portion of what they estimate to be a $625 million project. They also, there's another gap, about $100 million, where the city still has to figure out where they're going to come up with that money. But so they're kind of getting started with kind of taking it piecemeal. I think the entire flood protection system, which would cover both the east and west sides of the river, which back in the early days, it was a question whether the city gives up on the west side, and they decided we're going to protect both sides. It's about 7.5 mile of flood system, and it includes 81 separate projects. So kind of divided it out and prioritized where to start, where they can get the most bang for their buck, and have been trying to move along that way. And then, I think they hope once they're still hoping and you're kind of getting some positive signs from Congress and some of our representatives and senators that they do think it's going to happen. So they're kind of counting on that federal money. And when that comes in, I think they're going to just kind of work that in to help cover the costs.
And what about your readers, Brian? Do you hear much from them about this? Are they watching it carefully, or they've moved on from the flood to other things?
It's interesting. I mean, I don't hear a ton from readers. You do hear, like last fall in September when we experienced what turned out to be the second worst flood in city's history, but the city was able to, and residents came together and built some temporary protections that held back the flooding. When that happens, then, all of a sudden you start to hear people talk a little bit more, why wasn't this done sooner? Why are we 9 years later? Why don't we have this done? But on a day-to-day basis, I honestly don't hear a lot from people. I think to some extent there's some flood fatigue just because, it is such a common topic.